On By Design, it's time for trends.
This week, the news that Holden's Commodore car may be designed overseas, or at least part of the elements of the car designed overseas, is not a new story in the Australian car industry. What it does, though, is confirm the trend that the idea of what constitutes the Australian car is really undergoing a very major shift from the days when a car was part of a family, parked right beside the house and treasured. An article this week by Damon Honnery, posted in The Conversation, an ideas website, looks at redefining the myth of the Australian family car. Damon is Associate Professor in the Department of Mechanical Engineering at Monash University, and he joins us now from our Melbourne studio. Damon, welcome.
Pleasure to be here, Alan.
Total vehicle sales in Australia have increased by roughly 35% in the last decade. But sales of Holden Commodore and Ford Falcon have halved. What's happened here? Why have we fallen out of love with the once much treasured Ford and Holden?
Yes, total car sales have fallen by about 35%. Sorry, increased by about 35%. But passenger cars have remained relatively static over 10 years. So we've had an increase in the total number of cars that have been sold. But on balance, the passenger car fleet has remained fairly static. The dominant increase has been in light trucks. Sales of large cars have fallen by around half, and small to light cars have increased by around 60%. So there's some very interesting trends there in the automotive sector. But the glory days of the HQ, the Kingswood, the much-loved Kingswood, the Commodore and the Falcon are fast receding. Both fleet and private buyers are looking elsewhere, and I think the dream that once dominated our myth of the family sedan is no longer holding us in its sway.
Well, yes, if the family sedan is now a myth, there is a new kind of family car, the SUV, the sports utility vehicle, which has come into its own. What is this car doing that the Ford and the Commodore can't anymore?
Yes, it's a curious thing. SUV sales have increased dramatically, about fivefold since 1996. So we've had a dramatic increase. Once they were called all-terrain vehicles. Now we call them sports utility vehicles. Why are we buying them? Well, I guess our lives are very different from when the Kingswood dominated car sales. Families are smaller. Our roads are more congested. We work longer hours. And I suppose the dream of the longer leisure hours that greater wealth was supposed to give us hasn't eventuated. For many of us, we still have a dream. I think it's an old dream about what it means to be Australian. We dream about escaping to the country, or the bush, I guess, about camping and outdoor activities. It's about that mountain bike on TV that it looks so good in the back of the SUV, but somehow you can never seem to fit it in there. It's a dream about, I guess, what we yearn for.
The reality is that imports now make up 80% of total vehicle sales in Australia. So why are we buying imported SUVs, for example? What's wrong with making our own?
Well, we do. We make the Ford Territory, but its sales have dropped considerably over the years. It's a very competitive sector of the market. If you look at the total cross-section of SUVs that are available, you've got the hardcore off-road vehicles, the soft ones, the urban ones, the sporting ones, the luxury ones, even the fake ones, the two-wheel drive versions, I guess. And when each of those, there are small, medium and large. So statistically, if you lump them all together, it's a very large number. And so we have to compete, if we make one of those, against all of those. If you're a global manufacturer, then of course you can make a whole range. But locally, you can only really afford to make one. So you've got to choose one part of that sector. And that's what the Ford Territory does.
I'm completely naive when it comes to motor vehicles. They're actually phony SUVs, are there? There are actually cars that look as though they're four-wheel drive, but they're actually two-wheel drive.
Oh, yes, it's a huge part of the market and growing.
It's amazing.
Extraordinarily.
This is By Design. I'm Alan Saunders, and my guest in Trends today is Damon Honnery from the Department of Mechanical Engineering at Monash University. The family car. What are your memories of the family car? Trips together and the battle between Ford and Holden? And how have they changed in the last 10 years? Is the family car now an SUV? Go to our website and let us know, abc.net.au/rn/bydesign. Damon, is it all about marketing, the way a car is sold? As an engineer, how do you understand the power of marketing when it comes to cars?
Well, as an engineer, I'd like to say I'm completely pragmatic. But I often spend long hours on well-known internet sites looking for the perfect example of a late 1960s Fiat 850 Spider, a favourite of mine. So marketing is very important, the way the car looks, the myth that you have about it. And it's clearly evident in the sales in Australia. In Europe, though, SUVs represent perhaps the worst side of motoring. Their high fuel use and their consequently high greenhouse gas emissions make them less favoured. And, of course, in Europe, there are mandated targets for CO2 emissions. In Australia, the opposite is clearly true. Now, I don't know if these cars are an innate part of our DNA and that marketers have picked up on this, or we're just gullible. It's difficult to say. But either way, what we want in vehicles has changed considerably over the years, and the marketing has changed with it and probably played a very big role.
Well, talking about CO2 emissions, there's also the rise of the hybrid car. Toyota's petrol electric Camry is one of these. Is this kind of car the new family car, or is there simply no family car anymore?
Look, that's a good question. Hybrid vehicles, we expected a lot of them when they first came out. They were the next saviour, of course. But last year, I think we only sold around 8,500 of those. Now, that's a very small number. For example, we sold around 11,000 Ford Territories. That's the big four-wheel drive that's made here. And of the hybrids that were sold, only 20% were private sales. So they're certainly not the new family car. So when we think about the family car, we have to think about the family itself. It's changed considerably. Our kids might not even be human, for example. They could be dogs. So what you want in a car is very particular to your particular family. And, of course, anecdotally, families with human children, I guess, are after the perceived high safety benefits. These are, on balance, larger, heavier cars, and when they hit a smaller, lighter car, I guess it's obvious who'll come better off from that accident. And, of course, if you go to schools in the morning and you see the vehicles that have been used to ferry kids to and from those schools, you see very strong evidence of the desire, I guess, for safety.
And what about size? The Holden Cruise is the first medium to small passenger car to be produced in Australia for some time. So cars are being made here, but are we making smaller and more economical cars?
We are, and the Holden Cruise is a very good example of that. It's not an incredibly small car, but it's the larger end of the small car sector. And now it comes in a variety of styles, so a sedan and a hatch. Sounds like an advertisement, doesn't it? But it's a significant venture for the local industry, and we haven't really seen large production of small cars since we ceased production of the Toyota Corolla in around 1999.
What role is the government playing in this? Could the car industry survive in Australia without government co-funding?
Look, that's a very good question. We've had almost as many car plans as there have been Holden models over the years. The most recent one, the demise of the most recent one, I should guess, the Green Car Plan, was intended to be one of the big saviours for the industry. And largely that has happened, I suppose, when you consider what was happening post the global crisis. We've seen the production of small cars, hybrid cars, use of lighter weight materials, advanced fuel injection systems, but we still haven't seen anything that captured the imagination of the Australian public like the Kingswood did, for example. So when you come to government support, there's so much pressure now on the industry from alternative fuels, greenhouse gas and so on and so forth. If we are to have a surviving industry in Australia, I can't see any other way but for the government to continue to support it in a whole range of ways.
Will the day come when no car is made in Australia? Can you see that?
Well, by the large manufacturers, yes. Hopefully there'll be some small ones for specialist industries. But the single biggest factor is the rise of China. China's now the largest producer of cars in the world. They produce around 12 million annually. Hardly any of them are exported, but we're seeing their potential already. Local response to those that are imported, I should say, usually questions the safety and quality of those vehicles, but that can't last, of course. Examples like Korea and before that Japan tell you very quickly how these countries can catch up.
Just finally and very briefly, I just want to date really, how far off is an electric car?
Further than people would have you believe. So I'm not going. We have electric cars, but are they realistic options? They're not at the moment. They're very expensive. That's because the batteries are incredibly expensive. If you want to have cheaper ones, they get smaller, and that means, of course, they're unsafe, and people won't buy them. Until we can get those sorts of things sorted out, they'll be a novelty and basically a thing bought by governments to demonstrate their commitment to things.
Well, thank you, Damon Honnery.
Thank you.
Links to Damon, who's Associate Professor in the Department of Mechanical Engineering at Monash University, at our website, abc.net.au/rn/bydesign. And that's where you can talk about the family car. What are your memories of it? The trips together as a family, the battle between Ford and Holden, and have they changed in the last 10 years? Is the family car now an SUV? Coming up soon on By Design, the extraordinary world of avant-garde architecture in the early Soviet Union.